Senate will please come to order. Roll call, February 20th, 2008. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Roll call for February 20th, Wednesday. Anderson.
Here.
Allman.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Excused.
Burns excused. Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria. Excused. Fecht.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hines.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Job.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson. Massey,
here.
Meyer,
excuse.
Mockler,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Perkins,
excuse.
Peterson,
here.
Ross, excuse. Scott,
here.
Sessions,
excused.
Townsend. Basie.
Here.
Von Flateren.
Here.
President Schiffer.
Here.
24 present, 6 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Oliver.
Good morning. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for the assurance of your presence, available at all times, dependable in all circumstances. Bracing when we need guidance and inspiring when we need courage. Lead us, Lord, as we press on. The day stretches out before us, filled with debate, deliberations, and decisions. Keep us calm as we trust you and reassured as you replenish our resilience. You have promised to never leave or forsake us. Grant the senators a renewed assurance of your wisdom and whose prophet upon their lives. You are the source of creative insight and rich solutions. Fill this chamber with your presence, these senators with your wisdom, and all of our state and country with your pride and joy. You are my Lord,
amen. Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Reading, correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 19th, 2008 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, chairman.
Are there any objections? Being none, the report is adopted. Senators, the doctors for the day are Dr. David Guida and Dr. Helen Ines. And I think they're not on the floor at this time, but the nurse for the day is Carrie Didas, registered nurse from Iverson Memorial Hospital. The thought for the day, you will only be remembered for two things, the problems you solve or the ones that you create. With that, House bills on first reading. House Bill 36, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 36, Uniform Law on Notarial Acts, sponsored by Representative Gingery, an act relating to notaries and notarial acts, passed the Senate on third reading, 60-60.
Passed passed the House, I think was the correct term. Okay. House Bill 36 has been assigned to Committee Number 4, Education. That's the only one. Reports from standing committees.
February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 77, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, Jennings, Mockler. No, Senator Ross, Senator Anderson, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 94, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Mockler, Ross. No, Senators Anderson and Jennings, Senator Anderson, Chairman. February the 20th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 93, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Johnson, Perkins, and Vasey, Senator Geis, Chairman. February the 19th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 79, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, Case, and Jennings. No, Senators Mockler and Ross, Senator Anderson, Chairman.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. Vice President, Senate File 94 has an appropriation and would request it be referred to Appropriations.
Senate 94, having an appropriation, has been requested to be re-referred. Seeing no objection, so ordered. Bills on second reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Vice President, I move that we suspend Rule 4-1, the order of business, and move third reading and final passage up ahead of the second reading. And the reason for this, Mr. Vice President, is we only have one bill today on third reading. And, of course, as you know, the budget bill is on second reading and a lot of amendments, and it would take a lot of time. So I think it would be smoother and operate better if we suspend the rules and move up this one bill for third reading. And it will take a two-thirds majority vote.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. You have heard the motion that we suspend the rules as pursuant to Rule 4-1. The reading clerk will please call the roll. This does require a two-thirds majority.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Becht.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas. Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions. Excused. Townsend.
Aye.
Vasey.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 1 no.
By your vote, you have suspended Rule 4-1, and we would now go to Bill number Senate File 45 on third reading. Senate File 45, School District's Payment of Employee Associations Dues. The reading clerk will please read the bill. Read the file.
Senate File 45, School District Payment of Employee Association Dues, sponsored by Senator Larson, and Act Relating to School Districts, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment on the bill. Senator Larson, would you like to present the bill?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. There is an amendment. I'd like to move third reading amendment number one and ask for an affirmative vote. This amendment, as you can see, it's obvious, repeals the other amendment which dealt with being able to have the school boards be able to participate in or buy publications, periodicals, and so on. But from some of the handouts, you can see that that was not going to get the job done. I suspect it could have been interpreted properly that it could, and it would have prohibited other agencies. That's not what I was after, folks. I think this amendment does get to the core of the matter, and that would be to suspend the take out the other amendment, and in this case, not allow the school boards to spend, pay the dues of, or incur any expenses on behalf of any recognized association which engages in activities related to collective bargaining, contract negotiations, or the representation of employees in contract negotiations.
And would the reading clerk please read in first reading or third reading amendment number one to Senate File 45 at this time?
Excuse me, Mr. President. I thought that was...
That's okay.
Senate File 45, third reading amendment number one, page one, line 15.
And Senator Larson, would you move that amendment again?
I would move third reading amendment number one to Senate File 45. Mr. Vice President, so that's all it does. It does not exclude all those other special teacher areas, all of those other things. It just means that if you can't, the board cannot pay the dues for a teacher to belong to an association that's going to come back and involve in negotiations for their contracts and what they're going to be paid with taxpayers' money. And I emphasize with taxpayers' money. I think that's wrong. There is no other area that I can find, state employees, anybody else, where that is done. They can still withhold it out of the paychecks of the teachers and administrators. They can still withhold it, transfer it, move it on, but they cannot pay it with the money of the taxpayer. So all those other list of organizations, they can now pay for them to belong to those, but they cannot do it if it's an association that engages in the activities of salary setting, collective bargaining, and so on. So I think this makes the bill very clean, gets to the idea of what I feel and many others have told me they feel was wrong about it, and using taxpayers' money to pay, in essence, union dues that are going to come back and negotiate contracts, or I may even add and could have put in there, are suing you. And so I would urge your adoption of this amendment. Takes the other one out, makes it very clean, and gets at what we perceive to be the problem. I'd urge your support.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator DiCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. This amendment does address the issue that I brought up yesterday with a lot of the other organizations that are involved, that normally you're going to have teachers and administrators belonging to. So I applaud that. But, Mr. Vice President, the problem then becomes is, if we're going to be honest about this, we're talking about one organization. We're talking about one place in the state where this goes on. And from my research, Mr. Vice President, there's only two districts in the entire United States where this goes on. And, Mr. Vice President, it seems to me that, you know, we are getting more and more into the local management of local school boards. I mean, at some point, we're not letting anybody make those decisions. You know, actually, I'm quite surprised, Mr. Vice President, that they would pay these dues. But I guess if that district, you know, in the central part of the state, they wanted to do that, I guess they must have had some reason to think it was a good policy. The fear I have, Mr. Vice President, is also that now we're coming back and you have a local board that says, well, we just can't make this decision and take this away. Please pass a law statewide so that we can get ourselves out of this situation. And, Mr. Vice President, I mean, that is a terrible way to proceed as far as precedence in these situations when you're saying that a local school board, you know, has to come to the state and ask you to pass a law so that they can do, from my understanding, what they really kind of want to do, but they just don't know how to get themselves out of a situation they got themselves into. And so with that, Mr. Vice President, I'm not speaking necessarily for or against the amendment, but I want to make it clear what it is we're talking about and where we're headed with this piece of legislation. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Further discussion before the sponsor? Senator Larson, did you want to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Let me make it very clear. I have not been contacted by any member of that school board. No member of that board came to me and asked me to pass a state law that would get them out of that situation. Just hasn't happened. I would urge your support of the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of amendment number one to Senate file, third reading amendment number one to Senate file 45, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has carried. We're now back on the bill. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And I just, you know, you talk about the local, it is a local control issue. You have a situation where, you know, the sponsor has admitted that nobody's come to them, and they have a reason for wanting to do it. My understanding is they have tied staff development into this. You know, what, you know, and it's something that they've chosen to do. It's something that they chose to do with staff development, and, you know, it's something that they can easily get themselves out of. So I don't see why we need to micromanage a local entity in this case. And, you know, you talk about monies that sue. Well, you know, then we should cut off all money to all school districts, you know, that were involved in a lawsuit. That really, you know, isn't really the issue here. I think there's other issues, but I think what we got here is this is really local control, and I would urge you to vote against it.
Further discussion on the bill, Senator Sessions.
On this, I feel that, you know, it was not teachers who filed the lawsuit. It was some of your other top organizations who filed it. In the beginning, it was your boards and so forth. Teachers had very little to do with that lawsuit. WEA filed an intervening lawsuit. They intervened in it. They didn't do the original lawsuit when we did it originally. I think the message has been sent to the school districts. I think they'll look at it very seriously. Those who have done this will look at it very seriously in our state. And I don't know. I'm just asking, do we pass it for one person? Do we do this to everybody else on the basis of one district? Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it was my school district's one of the ones, the one involved here, and I feel I ought to defend them. It is a local control issue, and I would add to the things that have been said that when you look at a compensation package, there's an advantage to having the school district do this in terms of the federal income tax status. You're saving the employees that wish to join having to pay income tax on this piece of their compensation package. Same argument applies in to benefit like health care. So in terms of structuring a compensation package where you get the most bang for your buck, it does make sense to pay these dues, providing most of the employees are going to do it anyhow.
Senator Job.
President, my concern on this issue is that those employers have a contract with their employees, and yes, it is negotiated. But I'm a little concerned that we're stepping in with the law to interfere with a contract between an employer and an employee that they have mutually agreed on.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Coe.
Mr. Vice President, thank you. I wasn't going to get into this, but I think there's something else that's relevant here. We have nothing in the block grant funding model components that provides for any of this money to flow through school districts to pay dues. There's nothing in there. Remembering that we fund districts with a block grant, they can spend it any way they want. So they're out there finding this money someplace. Urge that you support the bill.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Larson, would you like to?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. A lot of the things that I'm hearing against this would lead me to believe that you don't look at this as taxpayers' money. Yeah, there are a lot of negotiations and all these other things out there that transpire, but not with taxpayers' money. Do we do it for any other state employees? No, we don't do it for other state employees. Do you know anybody who really does that other than outside of here? It's been mentioned that it's only one district. Why worry about it? As was brought up the other day, if we don't do this, I can assure you it will go through almost every district within the state of Wyoming. Almost every district, because that will be used as an example of a way to take taxpayers' money to fund individual benefits. And that's what this is. It's an individual benefit. Should you say the argument that, well, it's more efficient because then the employee doesn't have to pay taxes on it? Do you know anyone else, any other organization that receives this? It maybe is. But remember, it's taxpayers' money. Taxpayer money. So I think to do that is wrong. If we don't do it, it'll go throughout the state. It'll cost us a whole bunch more dollars that are not going for kids' education. I would urge you to support the bill. Question.
Question being called. Senate File 45 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
No.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dicaria.
No.
Fecht.
No.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job. Johnson, Landon, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Flatern, President Schiffer. Closing vote.
Anderson, aye to no.
Anderson, aye to no.
Landon, aye to no.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
Senate File 45, having failed to receive the affirmative votes of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 45 has failed to pass the Senate. Bills on second reading. Senate File 1, second reading of the bill. Reading, clerk, will please read the bill.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations.
There are some amendments. You get just a minute to get the desk organized here.
I think I'm organized. We just weigh them.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. If I may have the privilege of the floor.
You may.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you take a look at your goldenrod, as we start out in the second reading, you'll see that the traditional funds available for appropriation are now at $26 million. You'll see that on the front page at the bottom. And then if you want to take a look at the bills that are now profiled, you turn over to the general fund. And you could see that you look under appropriations, beginning to House Bill 3, down to 1767, 83, 90, et cetera, Senate File 10 through and 53, 55, 67, 68. Those are the bills that are profiled. So if there are bills out there that you have an interest in that have not passed Committee of the Whole, they're not yet profiled. The Library Endowment, for example, is not profiled yet, has not passed through Committee of the Whole. And with respect to the budget reserve, if you look over, there are no bills profiled. So right now, the only bills profiled are coming out of general funds. So as you begin to look at these amendments, remember there are still files that have appropriation that are moving through that have not hit general file. And you have to think in terms of those. And with that, have at it.
As I said, there are some amendments. Members of the body will treat these as fairly as we can, but I would urge us all not to be too redundant in our questions or redundant in our discussion and move these efficiently as we can and as effectively as we can. As the saying goes, we're burning daylight. So with that, the first amendment for our consideration is Amendment Number 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File Number 1, Jennings and Co. Senator Jennings.
We should read them in.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
We need to read the amendment in. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, Multiple Budgets Affected, Budget Section 101, Governor's Office.
Go ahead, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move Amendment Number 1 to Senate File Number 1. All this does is take the funding for the St. Stephen's School and put it back into the governor's budget rather than the Education Department. Reason being is I know there's a gentleman's agreement to disagree on the description of the school, but under Wyoming description, St. Stephen's is not a public school. It's not supported by the school foundation account. It's not administered by that account. It's not paid for by that account. It does, however, receive federal funds, which in light makes it a federal public school. By moving this money over into the Education Department, what we're doing is we're requiring school foundation funds to administer these funds back to the tribe and to the school. We shouldn't do that because we're using money in that's been collected for the condition of public schools, Wyoming's description of public schools, and moving it over to a school that falls into a private school. Talk to the lawyers. We've gone through the school section of the statute. What we're basically doing here, if we leave it in the school budget, is we're contracting with the education department to do work for somebody else. They can contract to have work done for them, but there's no provision for them to be contracted. So just to keep everything straight, we should move it back into the governor's budget and let the governor's office administer these funds, and there won't be any mixing of funds. Not taking any money away from them. Just it all stays the same. Just move the money over to the governor's budget.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, there is no mixing of funds. And as you see, the amendment, it's a revenue neutral. The general funds for the school went from the governor's office over the Department of Education. The only reason why the funding was for the St. Stephen's Mission School was ever in the governor's office to begin with was because there was a time where we believed that there had to be a dispute over whether or not we could contract those dollars out in a constitutional debate. We've now long since worked through that. The governor's office asked that the dollars be moved over to the Department of Education. The governor's office is not in the business of administering schools. The Department of Education has both general fund and school foundation funds for their operating dollars. But I submit to you that the Department of Education ought to begin to look at St. Stephen's. They're in this business. There is no commingling of dollars. The general funds went there. This belongs in the Department of Education. I urge you to stay with the JAC rec.
Further discussion? Before we take the vote, I would say for the benefit of particularly the newer members, when we act upon an amendment of the budget bill, if we in any way adjust that amount of money appropriated up or down, it requires a roll call vote. As I view this particular amendment, it is in fact revenue neutral, calls for only a transfer of funds, and I think would really only require a voice vote. So at this time, in regard to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file number 1, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is second amendment number 22 to Senate file 1. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 22, Budget Affected, Section 100, Governor's Office, Page 6, Line 10.
That amendment, Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. Vice President, what this amendment does is it puts back in the second year funding for the Health Commission, as per the governor's recommendation. And what it does is it makes it very clear that the money contained here can't be expended unless we decide next year to extend the commission, pass a bill to remove the sunset date. Mr. Chairman, we didn't bring such a bill this year. The sunset date is designed to be dealt with in a general session, and I think it's important that you deal with it closer to the expiration, because typically when we've extended a sunset date on this commission, we have added or subtracted from the studies that they're doing and the requirements for them, and that would be best done closer to the sunset date. So we didn't bring such a bill. What this does, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice President, it's really more being straightforward in your budgeting. It says if we're going to extend it, we want to put the money in the budget so it's there, so that the appropriation is contingent on the sunset being extended. What it does is it tells the Health Care Commission that they're going to continue to exist They have, Mr. Vice President, done some very good work, both in recommendations that we've adopted and in telling us that certain things that were proposed were not a good idea, were going to cost us a lot of money and not get the job done. So they've done some very good work, and I think that probably we're going to decide next year to continue them. I think we ought to have the budget appropriated and reserved so it doesn't get spent on something else, and that's what this amendment does. I would urge its adoption.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On it gets, this amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a sunset on this, and the message should be unambiguous. Until and if you get your sunset removed, there's no appropriation. The idea of appropriating beyond the sunset, it makes no sense. It sends a message that that well, maybe we're going to do it, maybe we won't. The sunset is a sunset, and you run the appropriation with the bill next year. I urge you to defeat the amendment.
Further discussion on this amendment? Senator Scott?
Mr. Vice President, I think, and frankly, it seems to me I can remember doing this a number of times before, reserving the second year funding for an agency that was under a sunset so that the money was available if we did continue them, and we did. If you don't put the budget in, what I'm afraid is that you're going to send a message to the people in the commission and the staff that they'd better wind up and look for something else to do, and will inadvertently destroy what has been a very valuable agency.
Further discussion? Seeing none, this bill, this amendment does have an appropriation in it, and I would ask a reading, or the chief clerk to please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns? Case,
no.
Coe,
no.
Cooper,
no.
DeCaria,
aye.
Vecht,
no.
Geis,
no.
Hastert,
aye.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Job,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Larson,
no.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Mockler,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross, Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 4 ayes, 26 noes.
Second reading amendment number 22 to Senate File 1 has failed. The Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File number 1. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 2, budgets affected, Section 5, Department of Education.
Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Vice President, what this does, this is one more component in our ongoing dialogue with the People's Republic of China. When the Chinese ambassador came over to visit, we talked about a number of things in terms of the relationship between the state of Wyoming and the People's Republic of China. One of the things that came up is languages. And we talked about their language program, specifically the emphasis they place on their students and commercial people learning English, but also on the necessity anymore of, given the economy we have and the possible way the economy is going, of our students also learning Chinese. It is not an easy language to learn, but it's not impossible because I got a brother that learned it, and he's no smarter than I am. So it can't be that tough, Chairman. I do think it's important. And we did some research, and what this does, we're not going to start from scratch. What we're going to do is partner with Brigham Young, who has an outreach Chinese language school. It's been in place for many, many years. It's a well-established format to teach Chinese, and we're going to partner with them through the university, but particularly it is an already established program. I can't tell you how many kids will take it. I don't know. But I do know this, that the economic times are changing, and we're all aware of the mammoth role that the Chinese play in the new world economy. And we just as well get geared up and get part of it. And this seems to be it's a proven program. It's up and running, and it's available to us. Vote it up, vote it down. It expands the budget. I make no bones about that. But it seems to me it's an area we may want to delve into. I ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the amendment number two, Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Vice President, I agree with you. I've been to China, and there's a lot of little kids running around to speak that language. It can't be that hard to understand. I'm wondering which of the about 70 dialects we're going to teach, though. Maybe about a different dialect for every community in Wyoming, so that some will have Cantonese, some Mandarin. We'll go around. But, Mr. Chairman, what I'd like to do is divide the amendment, and I think I can do this, on lines 8 through 9. I would move to divide after the semicolon so that division number 1 would be the words under general fund increase amount by 100,000. Division 2 would be the balance of the amendment.
And I think that is divisible.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I speak against division number 1 for the additional $100,000. Is the $27 million budget, they can absorb the $100,000 within the budget.
You've heard the motion on division number 1. All those in favor of division number 1, please say aye. I'm sorry, Mr. President.
The Chinese are a very commercial nation. They believe in, yens and dollars all those other things, and exchange rates and stuff. But what they really believe in is put your money where your mouth is. That's an old Chinese saying. What this division does is it takes the money out, folks, if you really believe we need to move forward with this, then I urge you, put the money in there, let's get serious about it, and let's start teaching Chinese. Don't pay lip service to it. That just doesn't make sense.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, on our rules, whichever division is just the footnote wouldn't require a roll call, so I will ask for the yeas and nays.
Okay. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I just want to clarify, we are putting our money where our mouth is. If you look at the remaining lines 13 through 19, we're appropriating $100,000 for this program, and it's to come out of the $27 million we've already appropriated. I submit to you, out of $27 million budget, they'll have no problem finding $100,000. So the money's there. We are putting our money where their mouths are. And so I urge that you, for the First Amendment, that you defeat the Division 1, which is the additional
Being a change in the amount of funding on voting on division number 1 and an adjustment of that amount would require a roll call. And the chief clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman? Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert? Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
Right.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 8 ayes, 22 noes.
That division has failed. We're back on the original amendment. Any further discussion on the amendment? Chief Clerk will please call the roll on the amendment number 2 to Senate, second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 1.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Second reading amendment number 2, Senate file number 1 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 3 to Senate file number 1. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 3, budgets affected, 006, administration and information, page 10, line 15.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate file 1. Ladies and gentlemen, this does add another $317,858 to the budget. It's put into the Division of A&I. We were asked to, by Management Council, to put this amendment to begin the process of ramping up for the implement the GIS system for the 2010 decennial census, which will also work into the redistricting plan. So this is an important part of our process, and I urge your support.
Further discussion on the amendment. Chief Clerk, please call the roll on second reading amendment number 3, Senate File 1.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Coe,
Cooper, DeCaria, Vecht, Geis, Hastert, Hines, Jennings, Job, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 24 ayes, 6 noes.
Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate file number 1 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 4, Senate file 1. Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 4, budgets affected, 010, Agriculture Department and Wildlife Natural Resources.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. Vice President, what this amendment does is speak to our priorities. What the amendment does is reduces the appropriation for the predator control to the governor's recommendations and then increases the appropriation of the Wildlife Trust Fund by a like amount. So, and it doesn't bring it up to the governor's recommendations there. His recommendations were larger than this amendment can handle. But it does say that the trust fund to us is more important than the Predator Control Program. Mr. Vice President, the Predator Control Program has gradually improved over the years. They're becoming much more effective at concentrating on the particular animals that are problems. You go after the problem coyote instead of just trying to kill them indiscriminately, which frankly I think causes more trouble than it, more harm than it does do good. So they're improving. This does leave the program where the governor recommended it. And I think for the marginal dollars that the Wildlife Trust Fund is a more important use. I think that's preserving our wild heritage that we need to have in this state. And I bring this to the Senate as a matter of philosophy and a matter of priorities. It doesn't either add or subtract any money from the budget. It simply moves it around. And I think that's the kind of priority setting we need to do. With that, Mr. Vice President, I would urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and against the amendment. If you really want to protect the wildlife of Wyoming, you should not vote for this. Let me explain to you why. Because the predator control money that we're utilizing now really does help our wildlife. And I think in the debate we had on the Senate File 7, we talked about that. And I believe the information that was presented to me that 40% of the funds that we expended in this particular account went to help the depredation of wildlife. And that's a huge number. When you look at what potentially could happen to the state of Wyoming, it already is happening with the reintroduction of wolves, and if we ever finally get to manage those wolves and we have the area outside the where they're a trophy animal, they become a predator, we're going to certainly need the funds to try to help that. So I would speak against this because I really do want to support wildlife, and I think this is a better prioritization of it, and we should do that.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I really think the debate ought to be a little bit different about one versus the other. They ought to stand separately, so I would request that we divide the amendment, Division 1 being lines 8 through 10, and Division 2 being 11 through 13.
That is divisible?
Yeah, I don't care.
Senator Scott, would you like to speak to the division?
For my first, and I hope only time, to the first division. Mr. Vice President, I think it's a mistake to divide this kind of amendment because it inhibits the process of setting priorities in the budget, and so I will advise the Senate that if the first division should happen to be defeated, then I will withdraw the second part of the division. So I would urge you to vote as you would on the amendment as a whole.
Further thought, I'll withdraw that division.
That division having been withdrawn, we're back to the original amendment. Is there any further discussion? Senator Perkins.
Mr. Vice President, on and against the amendment, with respect to the Predator Control Board, what it really does is most of that money goes down and is actually administered at the local level. There's 18 counties that have participated in this, 18 counties which provide revenue back into this fund. I want to remind the body that this is not a new appropriation, but a reauthorization of funds that were appropriated previously. In addition to that, I want to make sure that everybody understands that this does more than just deal with coyotes. This also deals with depredation of ravens on sage grouse. It looks at and helps to monitor depredation on deer and fawn, antelope depredations in various parts of the state, skunk and rabies the spread of rabies through skunk populations, also deals with other issues on, and not just coyotes, but all predators, and would urge you to vote against this amendment. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Senator
President
Perkins,
would call for, Mr. Vice President, would call for the ayes and the noes on this.
Okay. Ayes and nays having been called for, is there any further discussion? With that, would the reading clerk or the please call the roll, please. Chief.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman. Bebout.
No.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
No.
Cooper.
No.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Vecht.
No.
Geis.
No.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
No.
Landon.
No.
Larson. Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Perkins.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
No.
Basie.
No.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
Second reading, amendment number 4 to Senate File 1 has failed. The Senate, the... Yes. Senator Massey.
May I privilege of the floor?
You may.
There's a group visiting us here, and I'm not quite sure how long they're going to be, so I thought I'd jump in now and introduce them. They're with the Wyoming Coalition Against Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault and are certainly very active in our state and play a very important role. I was wondering if they could stand up, and we have a second to welcome them to the Senate.
And again, welcome to the Senate. Order of business, second reading, amendment number 5 to Senate file number 1. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading, amendment number 5, budgets, 015, Attorney General.
That is the Bebout amendment. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move second reading amendment number 5 to Senate file 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what this amendment does, it goes into the Attorney General's office budget under school funding equity litigation accounts. And if you look at that account, you'll see that under contract services, they have $2.812 million set aside to deal with school funding equity litigation. If you further read the budget narrative provided by the Attorney General's office, it says that the main items we have for this money to be expended on would be Wyoming Supreme Court issues, First Judicial District issues, and Ninth Judicial District issues, and Office of Administrative Hearings. I would submit to you that a big part of why we had this budget set up is now behind us in the fact that the Supreme Court, and I think very properly so, came back and approved our plan. And Mr. Vice President, you know, that speaks well to the efforts of the Education Committee, the chairman of those committees, and this body working for many, many years to try and bring to close this whole issue of constitutionality in the school funding litigation. If you look at that budget, $2.8 million, and my amendment removes $975,000, that still leaves them $900,000 per year to spend if, in fact, we should have this other litigation going on. And, you know, I don't know what it costs to hire an attorney in Cheyenne, but in Fremont County, $900,000 goes a long way every year to help with litigation. The other thing I would also ask, that maybe by doing this, we can send a message to the Attorney General that we should have in-house people working on this litigation instead of always hiring the outside attorneys, although there are certainly times when we need them. And then in that regard, you can see where we reduce the employees in there full time by one or by two positions, and we're going to at-will people. So I think it's time to tell the Attorney General's office, you know, good job, we appreciate it, but we don't need this money to proceed in litigation that we may not have. I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Coe.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just a little history on this process that we're talking about here. The school finance litigation unit that we created was only created after Campbell 4. We discovered that we were relatively unprepared to deal with the onslaught of problems down the street. So on behalf of the state, and with the approval of the governor, the state superintendent, the education committee, management council, the school finance litigation office was created, and we hired individuals to represent us. Following the trial, and again with the approval of the state's top policymakers, the school finance litigation office entered into contracts with individuals to and firms needed to continue the state's compliance with the different Supreme Court decisions. Included in that effort is the process called recalibration, which the Supreme Court requires us to do every 5 years. Most recently, we did that in 2005. We have to do it again in 2010. Some of the efforts undertaken by the School Finance Litigation Office, a study of career tech education, the continuing efforts of the state's key witnesses at trial, both to assist the state and a strategy to testify, and the continuing efforts of the states in its creation of the recalibration process. So in anticipation of the 2008 budget session, which we're now in, Joint Education Interim Committee, the Management Council, approved efforts of the School Finance Litigation Office, adding to those efforts the responsibilities that you'll see in Senate File 70, the education school finance bill that I hopefully be up for the next day or so. The intent here was to transfer funds from the School Finance Litigation Office as they are needed to implement the processes in Section 701 of Senate File 70. That's what was approved by the Joint Education Interim Committee and the Management Council. That's why you see no money in Senate File 70 to implement Section 701. So, you know, you can vote this up or vote it down. I have a question anyway, whether or not we're financing this School Finance Litigation Office out of the foundation program or out of the general fund. Staff told me, school foundation, we could be wrong on that. And if we are, we need to correct that and find out. But remember that as everything relates to the Supreme Court decisions and things that have happened, we're going to have a lot of administrative hearings from different districts. We anticipate having to spend more funds on those, and particularly the recalibration efforts that we'll undertake in 2010, we need to gather data and continue that process. So I'd urge that you'd reluctantly defeat this amendment. The intent's good, but I think it's the wrong time to turn this down.
Mr. President.
Mr. Chairman, I also urge the Senate to be very cautious about reducing this funding. Mr. Vice President will recall that over the, really since 94, this state has been twice we created a funding formula and then we recalibrated and then we just got done recalibrating it. And every time we've done that, we've had to bring in outside consultants that told us what was going to work and what wasn't going to work. And I think it's been with mixed results. What we're trying to create here, and I apologize, Mr. Vice President, but I'm going to refer to some legislation that isn't in front of us, but Senate File 70, we start laying the groundwork for recalibration so that we don't have to go hire, and the word guru doesn't fit those folks, because they come in from outside and they tell us, whatever school system they're familiar with, to convert Wyoming over to that system is what it appears to me that they do, and we pay them a lot of money to do that. They could just send us an email and say, you know, come to Trenton, New Jersey and see how it's done. What we're trying to do is do it at home. Let's see how we can help recalibrate our system by looking at it ourselves. We're bringing in advice and we're bringing in people who are learned, but we're trying to do it more in-house rather than hire these consultants that come in. We need to do it. We're obliged by statute to recalibrate. But we've got to start building the framework for that right now so that we're ready to recalibrate 3 years from now. So I would urge caution about taking funds away from this agency at this time. If it doesn't pan out, if the legislation doesn't go through that moves us that direction, we can come back in the supplemental budget and we can take the money away, but I urge restraint at this time.
Senator Coe?
Before the sponsor takes his second shot at this thing, I think we have to remember one other thing. We are currently in litigation still over rebated recapture provisions. And this staff is struggling right now trying to resolve that issue. We're talking millions and millions and millions of dollars that are still out there. The good senator from KC makes some good points in that we have brought in consultants and we've done a number of, we've had two consultants. The last set of consultants we had, I think, created a model that we could all see. Transparency was one of the things that that Select Committee on School Finance wanted, and we got that. I think if we can continue the process towards 2010 recalibration, it's going to open the door significantly for us to be able to go, as the good chairman from Laramie over there appropriations talks about, let's get into in-house management of our block grant funding model. And I think we have an opportunity after one more recalibration process to achieve that. Still urge that you defeat the amendment.
Senator Bebout, second time.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, I agree with everything that's been said by my colleagues from Park County and Johnson County. They're right. But this doesn't stop them from doing what they said that we should be doing. All we're talking about is the 900 series account, where we have $2.8 million set up to utilize for outside consultants. And my colleague from Johnson County says we should do this more at home. I agree. That's the message I think we ought to send. Instead of using outside consultants, we ought to be doing it in-house. Senate File 70, if you really need to have the money there, then maybe we should talk about that when the bill comes up. And the last thing, Mr. Vice President, is certainly if something arises, this body will be back in session a year from now, and they can put it back in. I just think we need to talk about all the money the state spends on outside consultants, outside litigant experts, when we could do a lot more of it in-house. Thank you.
This amendment does reflect a decrease and would require a roll call vote. The chief clerk will please call a roll on second reading amendment number 5, Senate File 1.
Anderson?
No.
Allman? Bebout, Burns, Case, Coe, Cooper, DeCaria, Vecht, Geis, Hastert, Hines, Jennings, Job, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
aye.
Von Flateren,
no.
President Schiffer. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 11 ayes, 19 noes.
Second reading amendment number 5 has failed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 26. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 26, Budget 24, Department of State Parks, Cultural Resources, page 17, line 12.
Ross Amendment, Mr. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move Second Reading Amendment Number 26 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a $7,500 general fund appropriation for work that we, as the Select Committee on Legislative Facilities, have developed and implemented now a legislative artwork donation program. This is the funding for that. It is our project. It's our artwork. It's been managed by the museum, and that's what it takes to continue and to make this program work. So I'd urge your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Chief Clerk will please call the roll on second reading amendment number 26.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Yes.
Becht?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Second reading, Amendment 26 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 28, Senate File 1. Reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 28, Budget 2040, Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move second reading amendment number 28 to Senate File 1. A couple of months ago, the governor formed the Lincoln Celebration Committee, or Lincoln Observe or Bicentennial Commission in Wyoming, and appointed 14 members to that commission. And Wyoming, just like every other state in the country, has formed a commission in order to lead observances, discussions, and other types of public discussions of Lincoln's life over the next year. On February 12th of last week was the 199th anniversary of his birth, and next year, of course, will be his 200th anniversary. So over the next year, the commission's charge is to work with communities in the state of Wyoming in order to develop public programs, discussions, book discussion groups, anything that the communities would like to do to talk about the importance of Lincoln's life, you know, not only to our country, but also to our state. And he did have some impact on the formation of Wyoming, and many of you have probably heard about that. But certainly his impact on the formation of a major political party, his role with regard to bringing the nation together in the Civil War had an impact on all of us. Now, there's money in the budget to support this commission. So the 14 members, who are made up of all three members of the branches of government as well as the public, we got the funds to meet. But what we would really like to have, what this commission would like to have, is some money to work with local communities to help them develop these public discussions, projects, book discussions, forums in their local communities in order to talk about Lincoln's life and the importance that he had on our country and continues to have today. So the $25,000 would allow that commission to be able to work with communities to provide local grants to local groups so that they could develop some of these projects. And these would be spent on our local communities and assisting them in coming up with these kinds of local programs. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Further discussion. Senator Nicholas. Go ahead, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The governor's recommendation was to reduce this by 50%. There was a requested $50,000. He approved $25,000 for this request. That was approved by the JAC. I would urge you to stay with the Gov's rec and the JAC's rec.
Further discussion, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And again, I just wanted to indicate that the consequence of doing that, of just recommending and passing along half of the recommendation from the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources, is that there is now money for this commission to meet, but there is no money for us really to be working with the local communities, and that's what we want to do, is to encourage these local communities to have these discussions around the state of Wyoming. And so the other $25,000 is really critical for us to be able to do our work.
Further discussion? Chief Clerk will please call a roll on second reading amendment number 28.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Vecht?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatron?
No.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 12 ayes, 18 noes.
Second reading amendment number 28 has failed the Senate. Senators, we have an insertion here. Following amendment 28, insert amendment 56. Amendment 56 would be inserted between 28 and 45. That will be the next amendment that we'll deal with. But while we're talking about these insertions, I'm going to go further down and give you some others while we're at it. So, after having inserted 56 between 28 and 45, go further down between 36 and 23, insert the following three amendments, 51, 52, and 53. Again, insert amendment 56 between 28 and 45. Further down, insert between amendment 36 and 23, amendments 51, 52, and 53. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 56 to Senate File 1. That's the Scott Amendment. The reading clerk will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 56, Section 39, Wildlife Trust Resources, and Section 67, University of Wyoming.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, this amendment was seeking to, again, set some priorities, moving money to the university libraries from Wildlife Trust Fund. Mr. Vice President, I've been lobbied pretty hard that maybe there's some lower priorities that we could use for a source. We'll see, but because of that, on second reading, I will not offer this amendment. So I'll not move it.
Amendment has been withdrawn. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 45 to Senate File 1. The reading clerk will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 45, Budget 39, Wildlife Natural Resources Trust, page 23, line 6.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, at this time I'd like to withdraw amendment 45 for now.
Amendment 45 has been withdrawn. Next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 7, Senate File 1. The reading clerk will please read in the amendment, the Jennings Amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 7, Budget 40, Game and Fish Commission, page 23, line 24.
Senator Jennings.
Amendment number 7 to Senate File number 1. There's a little bit of handout on this. It looks like this was attached to the Wyoming University. Wyoming University has nothing to do with the article in the paper. Basically, what we're doing here, Mr. Vice President, is we're taking the advice of this guy in the paper that said it certainly might make sense to try to have every different aspect of the sage-grouse life cycle be given as much of a break as possible for a while for them to rebound. Then another guy in here talks about how it's good to bring in the sportsmen into the sage-grouse issue because they're the ones that have been noted for coming in and building habitat. What this little amendment does is it moves money over into the game and fish to give them the ability to put a pilot study together to do captive breeding and release of sage grouse. The folks over Game and Fish were a little bit concerned at first when they read this amendment and we were talking about it, because they thought I wanted them to raise the sage grouse. And that's not it at all. What all we're going to do is have them oversee, open the door, so private citizens that already have bird farms and or want to start bird farms can go out and take and work with Game and Fish to get native breeding pairs or couples or however those guys mate, and put those into the bird farms so that we can raise sage grouse and be released. One of the nice things that you could do with this, and what some of the, a lot of the sportsmen have talked about, is that you'd be able to take and have an area here where all the leks are and come over here and turn sage grouse loose, just like we do pheasants, chuckers, all that kind of stuff. Have the hunters go over there. Game and Fish say when you do a pheasant release, between 80 and 90% of them get hunted, so that means there's 10 to 20% of them that go out there and do their thing and become wild. Hopefully this would happen with the sage grouse too. So it's another, it's a way to take the pressure off to open up some areas. The sportsmen seem to be pretty tickled with it. And I really have not run across too many people that weren't. I'd ask your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Senator Job.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Although the idea may have some merit, I would just like to share with you that in the Game and Fish Commission budget, we now have $4,040,939 for the sage grouse planning and protection program. Those are new general fund dollars. They have a team with a lot of projects. We just approved some extra demonstration projects. In addition to that, the governor has $1.6 million in his budget to work collaboratively on sensitive species, and sage grouse is. So I think we have adequate money in the budget, and I think if the idea has merit, you could go through the process of going to this sage grouse implementation team. So I would ask you to vote against that.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Chairman, Vice President. I'd move to divide the amendment, again looking at page or lines 9 through 10. After the semicolon, division number one would be the words under general fund increase amount by 50,000. Division two is the balance of the amendment. And for the...
That is divisible.
And for the reasons just stated by my colleague from Sweetwater County, there is plenty of money to the budget. I urge you to vote against division number one.
Senator Jennings.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I agree. There's $4 million out there. We should move that money to the vote against the second half of the amendment. We give the state of Dallas payment. Let's give the money. Let's put it in that $4
million. Question. Senator Jennings.
I can withdraw the first question. Mr. Vice President, now that the point of instruction. I'm hearing from back there that I can withdraw the first part. And I'm going to vote
you could,
true. I will withdraw the first part, but I have the second part.
I would rule that if that's what you want to do, you may do that.
Thank you. Let's do it.
First part of the amendment has been withdrawn. Further discussion on Division 2 or the second part of the amendment. Senator Meyer.
On and for this part of the amendment, Colorado, I believe, has a pilot program, but I think they're running it in-house, and this will actually allow, I think, some private bird farms to take a shot at it. And this seems like a logical way to go, and perhaps with a lot less costlier outcome than the path we're going down.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I hope that we resist this part of the amendment for a few reasons. One is that I'm a little uncomfortable, other than in very rare circumstances, that we start to put footnotes and tell agencies exactly what they need to do with the funding that we're providing to them. The Game and Fish thought through this very carefully. They worked with the interim TRW committee in putting together the budget. and the activities that are under the Sagebrush plan that the funding has already been given to them. And so I'm hesitant to slice off $50,000. And this is also not permissive. It says that they will do a pilot program to oversee the raising of sage grouse by private bird farms. So they got to do it by more than one, do more than one pilot program, or do a pilot program that involves more than one farm. And the other thing, Mr. Vice President, is that, you know, we've always been suspicious in Wyoming traditionally about private game farms, private bird farms, you know, individuals who want to raise things privately and then suddenly put it into the public wildlife pool. So I would want to know quite a bit more about this before we start going down this road, including hearing from the Game and Fish Commission and Department about it.
Senator Scott?
Well, Mr. Vice President, frankly, I would have been more comfortable with this amendment if it had remained intact, because I am a little nervous about going into the Game and Fish appropriation in this area where I think they have set some priorities. My understanding is nobody has yet succeeded in doing this, but it would sure solve a lot of problems if we could have the ability to raise sage grouse in captivity. I think we're taking a gamble here. I think it's a gamble worth taking, but I think we need to recognize that it is a gamble, and I would urge the sponsor of the amendment to, between now and third reading, talk to the Game and Fish as to whether it was appropriate to withdraw the first part of it or whether we really need the additional funding.
Further discussion? Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. There are farms out there ready to go. So whether we're dealing with a pilot project with farm or farms, they're ready. The Colorado is doing it. They're doing it in-house. They're having some success, but they're not statewide yet, and it's not doing too bad. As far as the funding is concerned, there's plenty of funding in Game and Fish now. It was a here's some funding to get going. There's plenty of funding there as far as sage grouse are concerned. Game and Fish has already gone down a list of the things that they know that they have to do. They're going to tell the bird farms, we don't want them in little pens. We want them raised out in bigger open pens. That helps reduce any chance of disease. They just said, when we sit down and talk to them, they just said, gee, we really haven't thought about this yet. And they were not against it. Once they found out that it was not like the Colorado program, that they had to do it, they said it, you know, the folks that I talked to from the director and a couple other guys in there said it's worth a try. It's going to take the pressure off if it works. The sportsmen can still go out and hunt without thinking that if you shoot a sage grouse that the economy of the world is going to turn upside down. The Game and Fish says we do not have that big of a problem with sage grouse in Wyoming. It's the surrounding states. They say this would help take the pressure off. I would hope that you would support it, and I don't think Game and Fish is going to have a problem with the funding.
Any further discussion? Division 1, having been withdrawn, contained the increase. Division 2 is just a direction as to how money should be expended. It does not reflect an increase or a decrease. Therefore, we will take a voice vote on the second part of the amendment, which is, in fact, the entire amendment. So all those in favor of second reading amendment number 7, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Division.
Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed? And I would vote no.
18 no.
Second reading amendment number 7, the Senate file number 1, has failed the Senate. Next amendment for our consideration, Senate second reading amendment number 32, Senate File 1, the reading clerk, please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, Second reading, amendment number 32, budget 42, geological survey, page 24, line 27.
That's the Larson amendment. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would move amendment number 32 to Senate File 1. This is back to the big volcano in the west. I know everybody would like to think that when it happens and so on, why are we going to care? If it happens, you're not. This isn't trying to stop it from happening. It's a matter of getting Wyoming the ability to participate in the data, the collections, earthquake prediction, all the things that rely on that. So make no mistake, I don't think it's going to happen in any of our lifetime. Not that it couldn't, but it probably won't. And so it's an easy thing to say, let's not worry about that. You can talk about that if it takes all of western Wyoming, so what? Folks, if it goes, it's going to go all the way to Louisiana. But it's a matter of having data collection and having the state of Wyoming, which Yellowstone Park is Wyoming's, having them be able to participate and share data with our university, with others, relative to these particular stations to monitor what's happening. It is changing and changing rapidly. But we don't have all of the information. There aren't enough monitoring systems. Wyoming, from not being involved financially on any of the systems, doesn't get the information. So I think it's something that somewhere down the line we're going to have to do. It is in Wyoming. The possible of this big super volcano, and you've seen them on the TV, needs to be monitored, and it needs to be monitored so Wyoming can be a participant, and I urge your support of the amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This was an appropriation request that was looked at by the governor's office and by the JAC, both to recommend denial. What the $601,000 proposal was to do was to upgrade 10 seismic stations that are presently maintained by the United States Geological Services. Presently, their technology records two dimensions of motions. The new technology would pick up three dimensions of motions. Most of this is monitored by a university in Idaho. I think the consensus was that this really is a federal obligation. If they think that we need to monitor two dimensions over the three, then we ought to go to our federal congressional delegation and ask them to put it in the budget there. And so I'd urge that you deny the request or vote against the request.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, speaking on and for the amendment, it is a very unlikely occurrence that we'll see an eruption in Yellowstone. I know when my granddaughter was born, I figured if she lived to be 100, there was a 1 in 10,000 chance that during her lifetime there would be such an eruption. It's possible. If you look out geological terms, I think it's almost absolutely certain. But it's very unlikely during our lifetimes. The advantage to these monitoring systems and to doing it well and doing it up to date and as the good senator said, in the three dimensions, is that you can understand what's going on better. And the risk here is that the possibility is going to be hyped because it makes a good news story and because it makes a good scary TV production. And I think that there would be the much more likely possibility of happening in our lifetimes, Mr. Vice President, is that there would be the kind of media hype that would start to damage our tourist industry and scare off tourists. And I think the remedy for that is having good information. Yes, the information will be extraordinarily useful if it ever does become active. But having good information will make people feel safe about coming to Wyoming. And I think for that reason, this is good insurance for our tourist industry.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I know the good chairman of appropriations said that there's a warning sign out there already when he see me fly by. If it goes off, well, let me say that we'll all be flying by somewhere if it goes off. Remember that about 95% of Yellowstone is in Wyoming. Yellowstone is pretty much divided in half between Park County and Teton County. We collect sales tax in Yellowstone Park. The concerns are real. You know, if you know the park as well as I do, Mary's Bay, which is on the north end of the park, has risen, I think, some 14 to 16 inches in the last 5 years. So there is concern about it. I think we do have a responsibility to say this, in fact, is not a federal responsibility. This is a state responsibility because it's in Wyoming. I have constituents in Mammoth and Yellowstone Park. The good senator here has constituents up there. We collect sales tax up there. So I think it is our responsibility to keep the people of Wyoming aware of what's going on up there, and I think it is a serious concern. It goes off every 600,000 years, and they said we're about due again. So, where's the use of 14?
Further discussion, Senator Nicholas.
Just a reminder, folks, this is a federal infrastructure. In the last 2 years, as far as I know, nobody's tried to get the federal government to upgrade it. Finally, this is the fifth priority in this department. There are at least two other higher priority items that the JAC and the governor did not recommend funding. So if we're going to go back and start looking at reassessing these priorities, you ought to take a look at those two higher priorities that were denied to, as well. So I'd urge that you defeat the amendment.
Further discussion, Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Vice President. The probability of a huge catastrophic occurrence is pretty low. There isn't any doubt about that. But as Senator Scott said, it doesn't matter if the media gets a hold of it. You all know what happened in 88 to the tourism with the Yellowstone is burning going across all of the things. If there gets to be significant movement here, that's going to be a media event and it is going to affect us. And being able to refute that is going to be important. But from another public safety standpoint, the potential for smaller scale activity is large. The potential for the catastrophic event is not. But smaller scale activity is large. And by smaller scale activity and being able to produce some of that, most of you here are probably not old enough to remember the Hebgen Lake slide and so on that came down and killed a bunch of people in Yellowstone Park and what effect that had over all of western Wyoming, what effect it had on the tourism industry at that particular time and what it does. And so don't just judge it on whether or not it's a cataclysmic event. This is part of Wyoming. Most of these, and the number one expert in western geology earthquake-wise is at the University of Utah, not Idaho, but the University of Utah. Most of the monitoring of all of these stations is contracted out to them. But if Wyoming wants to be a part of it, and we should be a part of it, in order to protect, for all the reasons we've talked about, we need to have a portion of this coming out of our state so we can have a little bit of say in what goes on in that monitoring and monitoring. And also be able to provide our state with the information necessary for predicting smaller scale events. And I urge you to support it.
Further discussion. Second reading amendment number 32 does reflect an increase. The chief clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case,
no.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
aye.
Fecht,
no.
Geis,
no.
Hastert,
no.
Hines,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Job,
aye.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
aye.
P. Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
Second reading, amendment number 32 has failed the Senate. Next amendment for our consideration, second reading, amendment number 8, the Von Flatern amendment. The reading clerk, please read in the amendment.
Senate file 1, second reading, amendment number 8, budget 45, Department of Transportation, page 26, line 8.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I move amendment number 8 to second reading of the Senate file 1. Fellow senators, what this does is back in 2002, and by the way, there is a handout on your desk explaining the history of this particular piece of legislation. Back in 2002, we passed legislation that allowed all dispatchers in the state to become part of the law enforcement retirement plan, except at that time, Wyoming Highway Patrol dispatches were not included. So over a 20-year payout, the state reimbursed the law enforcement system, retirement system, to bring all those other dispatchers that were brought into it up to par to keep the system whole. Unfortunately, and you'll see by your handout, that there was approximately, or is yet today, 25 Wyoming Highway Patrol dispatchers that are not included in the system. And it'll take what this amendment asks for, the $1.6 million, to allow those 25 dispatchers who are working with 18 others side by side to bring them up to par with their fellow workers. And 1.6 is needed to be put in a law enforcement retirement account to bring it whole and let them go forward. When they were asked, since 2002, all new hires within the Highway Patrol are in law enforcement retirement plan. And the other three that you do see on your spreadsheet that are not Wyoming Highway Patrol dispatchers that are not in the law enforcement system, those three have opted out not to be and are covered by others. There was originally three different systems, state plan, some other local retirement plans, and the law enforcement plan. It all consolidated at that time into the law enforcement, except for the 25 Wyoming Highway Patrol dispatchers. So you have people working side by side, which might only have a year or two of service difference, who are going to see a different retirement system down the road. The law enforcement system allows a computation of 75 versus 85. The rule is 75 versus 85. The benefits are approximately the same. It's just that they get in there that much sooner. This is a one-time appropriation of $1.6 million. It's not reoccurring. The retirement benefits will then come out. The part that the state pays will come out of DOT's general budget. But this money here will have to come from general funds to make them whole, to allow them to be in it. I ask your favorable vote on this, and I will say one more thing. I think in the news lately you've seen quite a bit of stress put on dispatchers who have ignored or not handled a 9/11 call correctly. They are working as hard as the enforcement personnel on the ground in the fact that they make that first snap judgment on a 911 call or a radio call, and they are the organizers, and they are the person in touch with the law enforcement personnel and emergency people out on the scene. So they do have quite a job. They work hard. I do believe they should match what the rest of the dispatchers. They should have the same retirement benefits. I ask for your favorable vote on amendment number 8.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And on and against the amendment, this is a proposal that came before the JAC and has been rejected as well by the governor. We did a study. It is true that there are some folks that have been allowed into the law enforcement retirement system, which is an accelerated system. And as we started to see this grow, we did a study. We commissioned a study, and we talked about the study before. But the study identifies the characteristics that should be applied for people to qualify to come into this plan. And there were about 7 items. I don't have them in front of me, but the dispatchers simply do not meet those requirements. The reason we're paying more for the retirement or for folks that are peace officers are those people that are, in essence, put their lives at risk, that are out on the beat, and have a high likelihood or jobs that expose them to high risk of injury. And when you look at the list that we commissioned in the study, dispatchers do not meet that qualification. And so while there were some dispatchers that made it into the plan before we did the study, generally we shut it down and say that that was a mistake. We're not here to expand it. These people simply do not belong in the retirement account. They've already provided this services. There is even a constitutional issue with respect to whether or not after you provided your services, you're entitled to be further compensated for something you've already performed. These folks have been contributing to a plan. We've already been paying into the plan. And sometimes it's true that you might sit side by side beside another state employee that gets paid more than you, that might have a better benefit to you because of a plan. Those are the breaks. But when you took your job, you knew it. But we paid the legislature paid money to good money to do a study. The study says they should not be in the plan. I urge you to resist this amendment.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Vice President, if I read this handout correctly, there's already 309 of 338 law enforcement dispatchers covered in the law enforcement system. Now, my experience at the local level when I was commissioner and then 23 years in the fire up there in Cody, one of the hardest jobs we had as a commissioner was trying to keep dispatchers working. This is one of the most high-stress jobs you can imagine out there. You have some woman calling in and her husband's just dropped, tipped over with a heart attack. She's trying to deal with that. Car accidents. Why we would say that dispatchers don't qualify like regular peace officers, they don't have the pressure, they don't have the opportunity to have problems, I just don't agree with that. And any of the other emergency services people been around it like I have, this is a high-stress, high-stress job. The turnover we used to have up in Park County, we have a joint law enforcement center up there, and I don't think we have special highway patrol dispatchers. I think they do it jointly in the center there, but I'll just tell you, I think that this is a pretty good amendment, and I think they deserve to be covered because the turnover is incredible, and they're under a lot of stress.
Senator Jobe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't think anybody would argue about the stress of a dispatcher. The qualifier for the law enforcement retirement system was the physical attributes, knowing and the possibilities of physical injury. And that was kind of the line. We did put the dispatchers in. Later we tried to go take them out when we found out we probably really shouldn't have them in there. But since about 2005, we have held the line on this. And there have been two bills, one in 2006, one in 2007, addressing the same issue. Neither one passed the body. And so we have been holding the line. The other thing I would like to remind you is these people are not without good retirement plan. They are in the big system, and the big system is doing well, and the benefits are good, and it's a sound, stable system, and they will have a good retirement. And we have that looking back and going back and picking up people, and there's some constitutional issues there, so I would urge you to vote against this bill or this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Oh, go ahead, Wayne. You going to
go? Senator Johnson.
We may have made a mistake back when we moved the dispatchers over to law enforcement, but it was our mistake, and the mistake was we didn't move everybody over. So if we're going to have a level playing field, and I hope that the Senate believes in level playing fields, I think that we ought to pass this amendment so that all of them are equal.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. If you want a level playing field, get ready to put up some money. Your local dispatchers are not in this plan. Our senator from Cheyenne last year brought a bill to allow the local dispatchers and to fund the cost for allowing those local dispatchers throughout the state to get here. We should not have allowed this group, there. They had a good lobby effort to get there. It's wrong to expand it for a group and not an entire group. We have to draw a line where we're going to fund this extra early retirement, fast accelerated retirement. And we do it for law enforcement people, and it's not stress on the job. Everybody has stress. If we're going to do it on based on stress, I'll go around to teachers, talk about a whole group of people that have a high level of stress. The qualifiers that we set for this plan, as my colleague from Sweetwater County said, are physical injuries, exposure to physical injuries. They don't qualify. But again, remember, this, there are many dispatchers that are not in here. I urge you to defeat the amendment.
Other discussion on the amendment. Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, for my second time. I will tell you that within what we consider a high-risk job and not having ever been a police officer or an emergency worker, I can't say that from experience, but I do believe and respect all those in that field. But I will tell you that within their chain of command or within the link of communication that they have as a dispatcher, and to track the quality people that I would want if I was out there on the streets making the right calls on where my support comes from, dispatchers of that. And they also take all the blame and all the stress if it does go wrong. So I ask for your affirmative vote on this amendment. Let's bring this group in. Let's make them on even with each other, and let's attract the quality people we do need for that job.
Second reading amendment number 8 does involve an appropriation. I would ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Vecht?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings? Job, Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
no.
Massey,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Mockler,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
no.
Basie,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
no.
Closing vote, closing vote closed. 9 ayes, 21 noes.
Second reading amendment number 8 has failed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 21, Senate File 1, the Schiffer Amendment. The reading clerk will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 21, Budget 45, Department of Transportation, page 26, line 14.
Senator Schiffer, or Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number 21 to Senate File 1. Mr. Vice President, what this amendment does, it goes into the Department of Transportation budget, specifically to the $200 million general fund that we put in there, and it asks the district engineer to consult with his county commissioners in his respective districts when they start to set the priority for the projects under the $200 million. I also ask them to give priority to safety. And what I'm trying to get at, Mr. Vice President, is it's okay. I mean, I'm happy to send them money. But sometimes it appears to me that YDOT, in their scientific endeavor to set the priority for spending, the money ends up in rather odd places and not often in the roadways that really need attention. And I'll give you a couple examples. Highway 59 between Douglas and Gillette. That's probably, at certain times of the day, it's the heaviest used road in Wyoming. They did a great job on 59 north of Gillette. Unfortunately, it just goes to the Montana. But the real traffic is south of Gillette. There's another highway, I believe it's 191, going north of Rock Springs up towards the Sublette County area. At certain times of the day, when those crews and those trucks are moving in and out, it is an incredibly busy highway. And it seems to me that rather than go through the STIP process, the 4 and 5 year delayed process, that with this additional $200 million, that they should start looking and saying, wait a minute, these are highways that are vital to our commerce, that given the traffic load, are unsafe. And even if they just go in and lay out a pattern of passing lanes, or I saw another nifty thing, these cables along the edge of the road, those kind of things, where perhaps we can reduce somewhat the fatalities and the injuries on these high-usage, critical roads that really need the attention. I think it's appropriate. I urge your support for this amendment.
Senator Bebout.
President, I too would speak in favor of this amendment, and particularly in Fremont County, where we have roads going everywhere like most counties, it really makes sense to have the county commissioners discuss this with the district engineer. We try in Fremont County, and there's a meeting they set up, and I think progress has been made from what we used to do in the past, where we just sort of was dictated to us, this is what you got, take it or leave it. We made progress, but I think this would help us make more progress, so I think this is a good idea.
Senator Von Flater.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I'd like to divide this amendment. And the first division would be line 13 through line 16 of the amendment, ending with the period at appropriation. And division 2 would be the rest of line 16, starting with priority, running through the end of line 17. So that would be division 1 and division 2.
I believe that amendment is divisible.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Speaking on and against Division 1, I agree with everything the President has said as far as Wyoming Department of Transportation should definitely involve the county commissioners, the city councils, anything that their road work or the road work they're considering will affect. And very eloquently, our president has stated exactly that, and that's what he requests, and I think YDOT meets those goals. I've been to several public meetings. We have a road that's being moved due to a mining event, and they wanted to do it one way. YDOT said that's not a bad way to go. Maybe there's another way, and the public came in and said, you're going this way because that adds 6 or 7 miles to my trip home. And we settled on a pretty good compromise. So I believe that's in place. I can remember running the first highway bill I ever did, and the one of the concerns that everybody had was that the highway commission is there to make those decisions and that we shouldn't be directing them to individual projects and individual roads and saying there's the priority. And nobody should ever exert their political power or position to get those done. So we left the bill I ran pretty broad in its scope. So I ask you not to put more, especially in a budget bill, where it doesn't get quite discussed to the length I think it should, to tell different agencies, as mentioned earlier, exactly what they should do. I do believe Division 1 is being done and done properly. So I ask you to defeat Division 1.
Senator Von Flater, and as I look at the divisions, I look at the lines above, lines 8, 9, 10, 11, do those lines fall within Division 1 or Division 2? Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, just so I'm sure what I'm talking about, Division 1 is everything except the words, priority shall be given to safety-related projects. Is that correct?
Mr. President, I think that's a very accurate paraphrase.
Mr. Vice President, dealing with Division 1 then, what this asks for is a little bit more upstream in the decision-making process than what the normal open houses that WIDOT holds. This is asking those district engineers. You know, they'll get their share of the $200 million. Those guys can all come down to Cheyenne, and they split that $200 million up amongst the seven engineering districts. And then they go home with it. And what I'm asking them to do is at that point, before they start assigning it to specific projects in their specific area, to at least visit with. And I use the word consult. Doesn't mean they have to follow exactly what any of those commissioners want. But it's to say, you know, where do you perceive the real problems are in terms of the safety of the residents in Highway District 1 or Highway District 6 or whatever it happens to be? It's to come in up front and be tuned in a little bit to what the needs of those communities are, rather than perhaps the skill level of the crew that they happen to have employed at WIDOT in that given engineering district, which is often how they determine what they're going to do. If you happen to have a rotomill on hand and you get an extra $1 million, it goes to the rotomill operation. That's the way it works, because next year the rotomill will be in somebody else's engineering district. So what I'm asking is a little bit of upfront visit with, consult with. Doesn't mean that they have to follow orders. It just means they got to consult with them. I think we can get more bang for our buck, and I am concerned about the safety of some of these roads, given the traffic, the mineral development, tourism, and all those things. And don't forget, folks, when we talk about those roads, we run school buses up and down those roads at almost exactly the same time that the traffic is overwhelming. We've got to pay some attention to safety out there.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Just a point of information. I tracked that up, the division, and I really think that line 9 goes with both parts because it's a new section. I don't know that the relevance of that, Mr. Vice President, but I don't think it quite tracks.
Okay, thank you. Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On in support of Division 1, as I can just to give you an example of kind of how that works, this can have a significant impact on county commissioners and county planning. I can give you an instance in my experience where we had been accruing money in the county road fund for several $1 million because we were trying to deal with a planned interchange that was projected and was on the list for YDOT projects. Ultimately, that gets changed, and you find out on the very back end of that's been changed. A little bit of consultation initially would probably enable county commissioners to provide and plan for their own road and their own efforts. And so I would urge the body to support this division. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Go ahead.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking with
the
daffodil, sir.
Senator Vesey.
Mr. Vice President, I rise in support of this amendment. I think sitting down and talking to those people interested is important. It does have an impact. I know in my case that we get the invitations to these little planning meetings, the elected officials, county commissioners, myself, the representatives, and we always go. And for the past 18 years that I've been in the legislature, I've asked that Interstate 80 be moved out of the mountains back down along the railroad track. And that's usually the last item before agenda, on the agenda before the cookies are taken off the table. But it does have an impact, because this year I got the invitation to this meeting 2 days after the meeting was held, so I know that I was the best to be held. So I would urge your support.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Having been on the Wyoming Highway Commission when that interstate was put where it was, I assure you, nobody on the commission wanted that interstate put there. It relates a lot to the federal funding. A lot of the priorities are established because of the federal funding. Wyoming Highway Commission didn't have any choice. They didn't have the money to pay for it, and at that time it was 90% was paid for by the federal government, and they said if you're going to qualify for funds, that's where the road's going to go. That interstate wouldn't have been built to this day, I would suggest, had we not have had to acquiesce. But just a point to remember, and I think the amendment's fine. I'm not speaking against the amendment because consulting is the operative word, and that is important. But remember, these highway districts have multiple counties. It isn't a county. It's multiple counties that they go and that they consult with. Their five-year program is set up just as that, a five-year program. And very often, and I believe this is the case with the road that was mentioned, 191, it wasn't that big a deal 5 years ago. But with Jonah and Pinedale, believe me, it is now, and I think they recognize that. And so their priorities are not always right. But they do have multiple counties to deal with. And because they consult with a county commission doesn't mean that the results are going to come out the way that county wanted, because they have to distribute the funds on a statewide. And if one county says, as this is perhaps going to be, priority will be given to safety-related projects, what is a safety-related project in a county may take priority over some of the others in another county within a district. So as you vote on this, as long as it has consult, I think it's all right. I think the last thing the Wyoming legislature wants to do is to try to get into the area of which roads are going to be built and when. That was talked about earlier. We don't want to go there, folks. That's why the commission system has been set up. They need to consult more. But remember, these districts are made up of multiple counties. And so just putting that in does not assure that yours is going to rise to the top of the barrel just because you're there. So the way it's written, I think it's a good amendment. It will send a sense of the legislature that the Department of Transportation has to do more consulting on a local basis, and I think that's a good thing.
Any further discussion? Mr. President and Senator Von Fleeter, and I'm going to ask you to approach the desk so that we have this absolutely clear in regard to our agreement upon this division with the clerk, and then when it goes to staff, we know exactly what we're doing. Put the language above in the bow. Go with yes. And so then all we have to do then is just act on each of the divisions, and if we pass both, the amendment is passed. If this one fails, we have to act on Division 2, including those. Yeah, but I just... Eli had some questions. There is no appropriation in this amendment, and we'll talk a little bit about the divisions, but this vote will be a voice vote, and it's in reference to Senate second reading amendment number 21 to Senate file 1. First vote will be on the first division. The first division would include the references from lines 8, 9, and 10, and it would also then include lines 13, 14, 15, 16, down to the word appropriation. And I guess a simpler way of putting it is Division 1 includes everything except priority shall be given to safety-related projects. So with that explanation, the vote then is on Division 1. All those in favor of Division 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed to Division I, please say no.
No.
Division I has passed the Senate. Senator Von Flatern.
Speaking on Division II, against and on Division II. Once again, I think the word telling the Road Commission, the Transportation Commission, that priority shall be given to safety-related projects is really telling them what to do. They certainly would have an argument if this was written into our language in the budget for that money, that if they can prove a greater safety need for something, however minor in the fact amount of safety that it would provide, they would have a good argument that that money had to be spent on that project, where the throughput and safety issues and the greater number of people served by the project that DOT has picked out may be overridden by the fact that this one curve in the road needed to be straightened out because of its past record ahead of some major interchange that serves the greater good. This is a direct, this is telling the Highway Commission how to pick and choose and how to engineer jobs. And I don't think that's our job. I think the consulting part in the first division was fine. I don't have a real argument with that. But this language definitely tells them how to pick the projects. And I don't think that's our job to do. And I think in consultation with the locals, we'll get the job done as intended. So I urge your defeat of the second division of this amendment.
Further discussion of the second division? Seeing none, all those in favor of Division 2, priority shall be given to the safety-related projects along with the references above. All those in favor of Division 2, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
I'm unsure. I would like to, I'll call for a division. All those in favor of Division 2, please stand. My vote was cast with the original vote, so having failed to receive a majority, that division has failed. That then dispenses with the business of Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 21. Yes, sir. Senator Scott.
Vice President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. Vice President, in the gallery, we have a class from the Pineview Elementary School in Casper with their teacher, Karen Southwick. I would ask the Senate to help me make them welcome to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate. Mr. President, would you take the chair,
please?
The next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 36, the Hastert Amendment. Senator Hastert.
You want me to
read? Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 36, Budget 48, Department of Health, page 27, line 14.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 36 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. The Children's Home and Community-Based Waiver is a program that provides services that regular state Medicaid plans not cover for eligible developmentally disabled children in Wyoming. Children eligible under the waiver are ages birth through 20, who are intellectually challenged persons with a related condition who required active treatment at a level of care and intermediate care facility. The goal of the waiver is to provide home and community-based services that enable the child to stay in the local community rather than be institutionalized. And the intent of the waiver is to relieve pressures on families by assisting them with meeting the needs of their developmentally disabled child. Currently, there's 113 kids on the waiver waiting list. The proposal, this amendment proposal, is going to help half. I know that there was a lot of discussion in, throughout the division, and there was different proposals made that some waiting list was appropriate. That's why I chose to ask for half of the waiting list. Currently, it's about a year waiting list on the total waiting list. So the amendment is to provide the funding to pull half of those kids off the waiting list and provide them services in their communities or in their homes. And I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you. Mr. President, in the sponsor's discussion of the amendment, he said that this money is for a waiting list, and he alluded to the fact that these children might be institutionalized. And I want to assure you that there are no children at the Wyoming State Training School. This has nothing to do with the Wyoming State Training School or children there, and I'd like to make that clear. I think sometimes we use that word, and that's not the best word to use, and it causes confusion.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And there's other folks that might be a little bit more knowledgeable about this than I am, but I think that using the term institutionalized, and I appreciate the explanation by the senator from Fremont County, and he's right, using the term institutionalized goes back to the federal program, indicating that the alternative for these children, that if they didn't get the services in the community, and these waivers provide them access to those services, then it's severe enough for them to be institutionalized. And the institutionalized costs of providing services to these children, which will mean outside of their communities, sometimes even away from their families, is much higher than if we're able to keep them in their homes with their families and assist the families with these children's waiver. Now, I want to assure everybody, my son has a children's waiver, but it's not affected whatsoever by this amendment. I mean, his is funded, and therefore I don't have a conflict of interest with this particular amendment. But I can say that it has been very important for us, because after we adopted him and we found out that he did have a disability, we were turned down by 26 insurance companies for family health insurance. We couldn't get family health insurance. And eventually my wife had to go back to work in order for us to buy into the group health insurance plan, which is the state's. But the state's health insurance plan does not cover an awful lot of his needs. The school district doesn't cover an awful lot of his needs, and many of them are health care related. So that waiver is a big deal. Now, having a waiting list for a few months or even 6 months, I think is fine. Eventually people will get on that waiting list or get on a waiver, and once they get it, they keep it. But for right now, and this is a report that was issued by the Developmental Disabilities Division February 12, 2008, so last week. In the last quarter of 2007, they were only able to bring 8 new children off the waiting list onto a Medicaid waiver. That's a pretty slow pace, especially when you're talking about over 100 of them on the waiting list. This was a real gap in the request that came from the governor's office, and also a real need that was not covered in our budget right now. And I'm not going to stand up and say this too often here in the next couple of readings of this thing, but this one is very clearly a need that we need to take care of for these families.
Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, and on and against the amendment, this one is a little bit hard to talk about because I know it's a real emotional area, but I'll point out a couple of things. First of all, We did take a look and gave substantial increases to the Department of Health. They've had substantial growth. This is not a budget request that was even made by the agency. There was no budget request made by the Department of Health for this waiting list. When we did talk to them, we do talk to them about the waiting list. They believe that waiting lists are appropriate. They felt like they were, there is, by the way, there is $27 million of funding already in the waiver program. But the testimony that we heard is they felt it was being managed appropriately, that certainly there are waiting lists. Waiting lists are generally a fact of life. Nationwide, our waiting list remains one of the lowest in the nation, and it's just part of managing the Medicaid services. But no request is made by the Department of Health, and again, there are some things the Department of Health that felt were a higher priority than this that we turned down. And if you're going to go but begin to start putting more money into this department or to this health Department of Health, I urge you to go back and look at the highest priorities that they asked for. Fund those first. I urge you to defeat the amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'm not sure why there wasn't a request from the Department of Health, but perhaps this is one explanation. This particular need was brought to the attention of the Select Committee on Developmental Programs. And we did include this request in a letter to the Appropriations Committee, asking the Appropriations Committee to take a look at this request. So that may be the reason the Department of Health did not duplicate that. But this, as well as the waiting list for the adults, were very clearly on the minds of the folks on that Select Committee, as it has been for the last 2 or 3 years. And this was one of our priorities that we did forward to the Appropriations Committee.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second shot. Senator Hastert.
Thank you. And into the comments made by the senator there in the back of the room that I did want to clearly say that the goal of the waiver is to provide home and community-based services to enable the child to stay in the local community rather than be institutionalized. Just make sure that, you know, that's why the goal is to keep them in their local community or in their home and not there. As my colleague from Albany County has stated, I'm not sure why this appropriation wasn't asked for. I have the numbers for, you know, full funding, and now knowing that they have made that request through the developmental programs, I'm certain that they thought that this was covered through that. You know, yes, a waiting list is appropriate at times, and you know, ours is excessive right now for the number of kids served. So this reduces it just by half, just reduces the number of kids by half, and I ask you for your support.
The question is on second reading amendment number 36 to Senate File 1. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Allman? Bebout? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? DeCaria? Vecht? Geis? Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Job? Johnson? Landon? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Mockler? Nicholas? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Townsend? Vasey? Von Flatern? President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 11 ayes, 19 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 36 has failed to pass the Senate. Second reading amendment number 51 to Senate File 1. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 51, Budget 48, Department of Health, page 27, line 14.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, as we talked about the Medicaid program yesterday in Committee of the Whole, the program has ceased its great increases that it used to be having and has actually been stable and actually slightly declining in its expenditures in the past few years. And this amendment speaks to one of the reasons that that has happened. We have been having more and more success at persuading people and finding people options where they did not have to go in nursing homes, which are very high cost, where they can utilize our home and community-based services, they can utilize other factors, and this program that this amendment speaks to has been one of the ways that we've achieved that. It has been federally funded entirely. That funding will expire on September 30th, with the end of the fiscal year is not expected to be renewed. So what this amendment does is it continues that funding, and it's a pilot program in Converse and Natrona counties, continues that, and it adds to the funding to keep them going for another year. It adds $25,000 so that they can go around the state and give training to the people in the senior centers with their expertise and what the options are, how you can help people avoid the nursing home. So it's trying to spread this statewide using the senior centers as a mechanism. The footnote does not add any new money. There's enough room within the Medicaid, that line item in the budget, to accommodate this, and it is one of the things that is helping to keep that cost down, so it's an appropriate place to fund it. So I would urge the Senate to adopt this amendment. Again, it adds no new money to the budget. It merely gives direction to keep this program going. That's one of the ones that's helped hold the cost down.
Discussion on second reading amendment number 51. This amendment does not affect either increase nor decrease funding level, so I'll ask for the yeas. I'll ask for a voice vote. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 51 to Senate File 1, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That amendment does pass. Second reading amendment number 52 with the Scott amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 52, budget affected 48, Department of Health, page 27, line 14.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, those of you who were here a few years ago when we had the special session on the malpractice crisis may recall that one of the things we did, we were losing our obstetric coverage in the state, and for obstetrics, half the volume of business is in Medicaid, and what we did was we increased the Medicaid reimbursement because the reimbursements that we did have weren't covering the malpractice insurance costs. Mr. President, that problem has not gone away. We continue to have that problem. We have stabilized and haven't lost further OB services that I'm aware of. But I think we need to continue to fund the funding to keep that crew. The money is in the budget. We had a meeting with Bob Peck from the health department. The money is there within the existing budget, but they need some legal authority because there was a sunset date on that particular piece of legislation. And what this does is give them the legal authority to continue that expenditure through the coming biennium. My information, Mr. President, is that it's approximately $2.3 million for the biennium, to raise the levels up to, as is specified here, which is what we've been doing. It's expensive, but I think if we don't spend the money, Mr. President, it will get us in trouble in our obstetric coverage. Again, it is no new money because it's already in the budget. It's just the legal authority to expend it for this purpose.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, and I confirm that this was an important area for obstetrics coverage, for having that availability. The department does confirm that they can meet this with their existing obligations, so I urge you to vote for the amendment.
Senator Hines.
Mr. President, I have a question when the sponsor speaks again. If I'm understanding the explanation correctly, then we need this so they can spend money that's already in the budget. If without this amendment, then what was the reason for putting the money in to begin with? If there's no authority to spend it, why did we put over $2 million into a fund that just have to sit there?
Senator Nicholas, can you explain this?
I can explain that. What's happened, Mr. President, is that we gave statutory temporary authority for them to treat the obstetrics program different than other reimbursements in Medicaid program by requiring that they pay 100% of reimbursement. That's not what we do for other medical professionals. We did that because over half of our deliveries in the state are Medicaid deliveries. And our obstetrics folks were simply having a hard time recruiting new doctors to deliver. Now what's happened is that just because of the overall Medicaid budget is sufficient to absorb this cost, but because we didn't make that a permanent fix to the obstetrics program, they would have to, without this legislation, return the reimbursement rate to the same rate that they reimburse other physicians. So what this does is allow them to continue the 100% reimbursement for obstetrics. I think I have that right.
Further discussion? The question is on second reading amendment number 52 to Senate File 1. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Second reading amendment number 52 to Senate File 1 has passed the Senate. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 53, the Scott Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 53, Budget 48, Department of Health, page 27, line 14.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this proposes is authorizing the Medicaid program to reimburse some primary care functions at a higher rate than they reimburse everything else, going to 110% of the federal upper payment limit, which means that extra 10% there is going to be estate funds proposition. Mr. President, the reason for doing this is that primary care is a key need. Virtually all the health reform proposals I see call for more extensive use of primary care. It's a very cost-effective way. It's, frankly, the doctor that's your first point of entry when you're sick. And there is a national shortage of primary care, Mr. President. The reimbursement has been poor compared to specialty care, and money talks, and the doctors are not going into primary care. Even our own medical school, the WAMI program, which is designed to produce primary care doctors, half of those graduates are now going elsewhere, and the shortage of primary care is expected to continue nationally. The work the Health Care Commission has done shows that we are below the national average in primary care. So we're even more short. So what we're trying to do is improve the Medicaid reimbursement so that there be more primary care available in Wyoming, make it a more attractive area to go into and make it more attractive for us to recruit. Mr. President, this is, again, funded within the existing Medicaid budget. I requested what codes and how much cost from the health department. They told me, they gave me a list of 20 codes, of which you see 14 here. I dropped out six of them, primarily related to emergency room visits, is not what we were after. But they told me the cost for a full 20 would have been $600,000 a year. So all I can tell you is this will be less than that. And there is enough room within the existing Medicaid budget to accommodate this, although we're getting close to the what is there. We are running below budget for the current biennium. Up to date, we're $2.1 million below budget in that program, and I think that trend is going to continue. But I promised Bob Peck when I discussed this with him that I would represent the Senate. We are now starting to run a risk of running over what's available in the Medicaid program. I think the probability that will happen is less than 50%, but that's still a risk. There is a contingency available in case that does happen. So you're running a bit of a risk, but I think it's one we need to in order to try to improve the availability of primary care here in Wyoming. So I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'll acknowledge this one catches me a little bit by surprise. I just haven't had the time to talk to the Department of My Health myself. But I guess I would urge you to defeat and resist this amendment on the basis that if we're going to go towards the it is true that you take the obstetrics. That was the result of a lot of hearings. We knew that we were underserved in those areas. When you now begin to go out and tinker with the system and say some doctors are going to get 110%, some are not, and we're not deliberative about it, what you're doing is, in essence, it's the same argument we had with dispatchers before. That is, it's the slippery slope is that everybody else, we're just going to move down to 110%. And this is a decision that ought to be made in a more deliberate fashion. We ought to be, the question I would have is why not raise everybody up from 80 to 82 or 90 to 92, whatever the rate is. But I submit to you that they are engaged in a process that makes sense. This is not the place to be tinkering with those reimbursement percentages, so I would urge you to resist the amendment.
Further discussion, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, first of all, this actually is a spending amendment. So I'd ask for a roll call vote. But I hope also the Senate will approach this with some caution. If we go ahead and overspend this account in the supplemental budget, we have to make it up. Let's be realistic. We're not going to not pay for our share of Medicaid spending. When you bring, I'm sure it's a great reason to spend money. But is it actually going to recruit or maintain GPs? No. For $600,000, you don't get GPs to stay in the state. It's not going to get the job done. It's going to spend money, but it's not going to. If the object is to retain general practitioners in this state, address that problem. But don't try and overrun a Department of Health budget that really we cannot live without. We have to fund it. We can do, if we can show a little restraint now, and if we need to address GPs, let's address that problem.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The question I would have is, when we go to 110% of the federal upper payment limits on these codes, is that kind of like saying our Our cost share is 55%, and the federal government's is 45% on these particular codes in the Medicaid program. We're at 50-50 now, so if we're at 110%, does that say to the federal government, if we just drag our feet and we don't increase the cost, the states will pick it up on themselves?
Other questions before Senator Scott raises for his second time? Senator Scott, do you want to respond?
Mr. Vice President, first, let me talk a little bit about the origin of this particular amendment. We had the Committee 10 in the interim. We had a meeting in Casper as part of our interim work where we heard from a large number of people on proposals for improving the health care system in Wyoming. One of the clear things we heard about time and again was the difficulties with primary care, and at that was the time at which I asked to have the information that was used to as the basis for this amendment. It was like pulling teeth getting it out of the health department, but finally did. It's clear we have a problem with primary care. It's clear that it's a reimbursement problem. The statement that this will not fix the problem is accurate. It's a small step toward fixing the problem, but if you don't take the first step down one of these journeys, you never get there. So that's what this is. It's the first step. I don't think it will overspend the budget, given the way they've been able to control the costs here, Mr. Vice President, but as I promised Mr. Peck of the Health Department I would, I again represent to you that we're starting to run a risk here. Now, we do have a $20 million contingency fund. In case we do, this thing isn't costing anywhere near that amount of money. It's a start on what's a very real problem, and I would urge the Senate, it's time to take this first step, because the reason we're getting in trouble with primary care is that the reimbursements are inadequate compared to other kinds of care, and we need to stop paying attention to what the feds tell us, and the figures are right. Yes, we'll pay the extra bit over the federal upper payment limit, and that's something, Mr. Vice President, we need to do. It will help us, I think, in our recruiting as we try to recruit these people who are in positions who are in short supply, because we'll say, look, Wyoming cares about you more than the surrounding states do, and that, I think, will have a recruiting benefit that's well beyond the amount of money we're spending. So I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the question before us in regard to second reading amendment number 53, the reading, Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Vecht?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler? Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 6 ayes, 24 noes.
Second reading amendment number 53, having failed to receive the necessary vote, has failed the Senate. Next amendment for our consideration, second reading amendment number 23, the Scott Amendment. The reading clerk will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 23, Budget 48, Department of Health, page 27, line 17.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I move this amendment. Mr. Vice President, one of the privileges you get as the chairman of Committee 10 is to get up and fight for things in the health care area.
and try to make sure that we've got a good set of programs for our folks. And make no mistake about it, health care is expensive. Mr. Chairman, this amendment is for the colorectal cancer screening program that we enacted last time. And what's happened is the health department took, in my judgment, an excessive length of time getting the program set up and all the contracts in place. They finally done it, but they were going through their budget very slowly, and the result is that they didn't get in the budget for the next year, in the governor's recommendations, a sufficient funding. These things cost, on average, about $2,000 apiece. If you recall the discussion from last year, that's what the cost has turned out to be. They're currently, last month they did 51 of these. They're on track to do that many or more this month. They're finally going, they're moving, and that would indicate we're going to wind up spending about $100,000 a month, or $2.4 million for a biennium. What this amendment does is bring the budget for the next biennium up to that level. Now, it's funded in the budget now at the rate of 20 screenings a month. I think that's going to be inadequate. I think we ought to fully fund it. The argument is that, well, you've got a backlog that we're working off and it's going to go down to 20. I don't think so. This is a life-saving test that many people are not getting because it can cost so much. They find some polyps to remove, the cost can go up well above 2,000. The average is 2,000. So for those reasons, I think it's necessary to bring this up to fully fund it for the biennium.
Senator Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And it's correct to say that the department respectfully disagrees with the good senator from Casper. They believe that there is a greater load request for utilization at the beginning of the program, that the need will slow down. As I pointed out, there's about $960,000 in this program. They believe that's adequate to take the program. The great thing about this process is that if the department's right, we'll be back here again a year from now, 6 months after this budget takes place. We'll be back a year after that. So we'll be back two times before the budget is wrapped up. So I'd urge you to stay with the recommendations that are made by the Department of the Health.
Further discussion? Senator Scott, second time.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I heard the same argument out of the fiscal officer that there was going to be plenty of money. We will be back next time. I think that perhaps at this time it's a better part of wisdom to withdraw this amendment. And my prediction to you, Mr. Vice President, is I will be back here, or my successor will be back here a year from now with exactly this amendment or something larger.
Second reading amendment number 23 has been withdrawn. The next amendment for our consideration is second reading amendment number 10, the Allman Amendment. The reading clerk will please read in the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 10, Budget Section 48, Department of Health, page 27, line 21.
Senator Allman.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. And I'll move to this amendment to Amendment 10 to Senate File 1. This is an amendment that was asked by our Appropriations Committee for this committee to bring forward to you. What it is we're going to put in an increase amount of from the general fund of $700,000, and I'll get back to the explanation of what we're using that money for. And then further down on this, we have two footnotes. One is appropriation, general fund appropriation up to $3 million may be used by the department to fund an existing crisis stabilization program and expansion of program in the Mental Health Substance Abuse Division. What this does is we were looking for monies to keep our pilot programs going for our mental health program that we voted on last year. From the Department of Health financial area, they said that they know of some money that we could bring in to use this. So we're not taking money out of our general fund at this time. What this is money that's already been appropriated, and it is an emergency money that is used at the state hospital for bringing people in. And it's like $4 million. So we left $4 million. We checked with the over in Evingston at the hospital there, and they agreed with this. What we're doing is using this money for our pilot programs, because our pilot programs are working and it is saving money. The reason we're not using this money over in Evingston right now is because the people are staying home and we don't need this money right now. So we're able to put this money into our pilot programs. And what we want to do is, with this money, is we're going to, the governor decided not to put money in his budget to keep our pilot program going here in Cheyenne. So this money will be used to keep that going and then also start another pilot program. In looking at the pilot program here, it'll cost about $1,600,000 to get it going, keep it going. And then we will have another pilot program that will probably cost around $1,300,000 in another part of the state, and we're looking at probably Basin for that. Just to give you an idea about these pilot programs, how what they're doing, in this Cheyenne area, they are saving our state approximately $383,700 right now is being saved, because what we're doing is we're not sending these people to Cheyenne or to Evingston, excuse me. We're keeping them home, and it costs less to keep them at home than it is to take them over to the hospital in Evingston. And so that part of the program, that's where you'd use that $3 million that we already have in our budget. Also on these footnotes, what we're doing is we're giving also the department means to be able to go in and find money for our program, and that's through Medicaid. We are not listed. Medicaid does not list mental health, but we can do that. And this is what we're doing. We're basically saying that through Medicaid we can list our mental health, and then that monies can be used to help pay for this. And then on 8, that is just the appropriation for the federal money for Medicaid. So that's the gist of the amendment. Now back to the $700,000. What we were going to do with that is also on our original bill that we presented to the Appropriation Committee, we had a appropriation for more beds in the Cheyenne area for women and for treatment center for the women who have to go in for in-care. And also, it'll also be beds for the women and their children, because that's the way the program works. So that if the women come in for treatment, we won't break the family up. It's a family affair, and it'll keep it together. So that's where that $700,000 and whatever is left over, that $3 million, after we start the projects up, that'll also go into that $700,000 for those beds. And with that, I hope for Stanford questions.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. The Senate Appropriations Committee urges you to support this amendment. This is the result of our select committee's work. They brought a select committee on the Select Committee on Mental Health brought this bill to us. It had an appropriation in the bill that matches the a little more than $7 million worth of funding. During the testimony, the Department of Health advised that they could come up with at least $3 million to fund the Select Committee's efforts. They would find those dollars in what they think are underutilized dollars of emergency funds for emergency detentions that was set aside for the state hospital, where they had $4 million in their present budget. They said, we think we can come up with a $3 million. That left, as you pared down the program request, they were $700,000 short. So what this does is it asks the general fund to contribute or appropriates out of the general fund additional $700,000 and gives spending authority of $3 million out of existing dollars that have already been appropriated to the department. And we commend the department for working with the group to find this accommodation. We urge your support of the amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I'm going to support this amendment, but, Mr. Vice President, there was one thing that was said that I didn't fully understand that disturbed me quite a bit. Are we expanding the use of the Medicaid program? I heard some discussion about doing that, but I don't see anything about that in the amendment. And I would have great reservations, Mr. Vice President, about expanding the use of Medicaid. It tends to come with restrictions that turn the program into a high-cost program. And I want to know if the, is there any element of that in this particular amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. Chairman, there was testimony during the committee hearings, as short as they might be. The question is whether or not the substantial additions of funding that we have put in the mental health and substance abuse program statewide are reimbursable through Medicaid. There was testimony that the Department of Health has obtained a waiver for some of the programs and believes that the those waivers can be expanded, and we are interested in them exploring that to determine that we're fully utilizing whatever federal Medicaid program is for the mental health funding that we put in. If that's a bad recommendation, I'd appreciate hearing from our colleague. I know he understands this as well as anybody. But it seemed to us that if, and it seemed at the time of the testimony, that as we're putting this massive amount of investment into the Medicaid system, and if we're taking the loads off of the state hospital and things like that, that perhaps we ought to be attending to the issue of whether or not these new services can be eligible for Medicaid reimbursement.
Senator Scott, second time.
Mr. Vice President, and it appears then that that's not an issue here, so again, I would support the amendment. The Medicaid, and I don't know the specifics in the mental health area, but Medicaid prohibits the use of many of the effective cost controls. It has many features that make it a high-cost program, Mr. Vice President. A few years ago, there was a joint legislative executive committee looked into Medicaid, and the report that that committee issued urged the state to adopt a strategy of keeping its Medicaid program as close to the federal mandatory minimums as possible. There's some places where it doesn't make sense to do that. So, Mr. Vice President, I would not want to say for certain that it was not a good idea to put some of these mental health funds and expenditures into the Medicaid program, but I would urge extreme caution. I would urge the Appropriations Committee or the Select Committee to look very carefully at that gift horse, count the teeth real carefully, and make sure it isn't going to wind up costing us a good deal more, because it sure has that potential.
Senator Almond, second time.
Mr. Vice President, and I'm sorry I didn't explain that well. We are, what this group body did yesterday was we approved our continuance of our committee. So that is one of our goals, is to look at this. And it was just that it was brought out that there might be other fundings out there, so we're going to look at it. But we are really careful, especially about waivers, because we've already implemented a few waivers in that, and we still haven't really seen the benefits of them yet. So this is something we want the committee to look at, and this just gives us the right to have the department look into it a little bit more and then bring it towards to the committee so that we can make our determination if it is a good idea or not.
Thank you. The question in regard to second reading amendment number 10 does involve a $700,000 increase. We'll ask the chief clerk to call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout. Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
No.
Vecht.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
No.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 27 ayes, 3 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 10 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
And I move that the Senate be in recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? We are in recess.
Oh,
I'm sorry. We do have some announcements. Just a second. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet in 20 minutes in room S18 to do whatever part we may be able to do with the short lunch hour of Senate File 86, archaic price regulation repeal, House Bill 66, revolving loan fund accounts, and House Bill 64, state auditor employee criminal background checks.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, we're still planning to start tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. If I have to change that time a little earlier before the end of the day, I will. But your Corporations Committee number 7 will meet at 8 a.m. in S-19 to hear House Bill 7, Real Estate Commission Authority, House Bill 16, Special Districts Elections, House Bill 8, Engrossed Election Code Revisions, and House Bill 9, Engrossed Campaign Finance Reporting.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Vice President, the President's Committee, number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. up in S-14, where we will discuss House Bill 5, Fuel Tax Distributions, and House Bill 6, State Veterans Museum. And, Mr. Vice President, if I may have privilege of the floor, one of the amendments coming up is number 25, and it deals with land south of town here, with the Welcome Center. And in relation to that, the Tourism Board is holding an open house from now till 2 p.m. today down at their headquarters. If you go down south of I-25 to the exit where the Flying J truck stop and the rest stop area is, that's where the office is. There'll be refreshments and hors d'oeuvres.
Any further announcements? There is a motion to recess until 1:30. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. We're in recess till 1:30.